More Idaho Matters right now. I'm Gemma Gaudette. All across the country, as well as right here in Idaho, there is tremendous debate and a lot is being written about education and what our children should be taught in schools when it comes to American history, American government, and what it means to be a responsible citizen in the U.S. today. Well, this conversation, like so many others in our country right now, not only is it hotly debated, it is polarizing. So that's why Bloom, a Boise-based education nonprofit, commissioned veteran education journalist Alan Gottlieb to profile four charter school networks that are actively engaged in the battle to educate and develop American citizens. So Alan, along with Bloom CEO Terry Ryan, are joining us live today to talk more about this. Thanks for coming on the program today.
Happy to be here.
It's great to be with you. Thank you.
So, Terry, I want to start with you. What was it that made you decide to commission this profile, this work?
So it was House Bill 377, which was a bill that the legislature debated and the governor, I believe, signed last week, mm-hmm. that got into this issue of critical race theory and our schools working to indoctrinate students on one sort of political ideology or race or creed of one sort or another. And we really wanted to show what good teaching looks like. And look, the fact of the matter is that good teaching in this space, you want to focus on facts, you want to focus on the things that our students need to know, but there are debates around issues. So we actually looked at what we call really good models. They're charter school models that are excellent at teaching civics and citizenship, but they do it from different perspectives. And what you might say from the perspective of the right versus the perspective of the left, or however you want to define this in 2021. But what we're most interested in are models that really do care deeply about educating their students to be effective and engaged citizens. Alan can tell you a lot more about how they do that.
Mm-hmm. So, Alan, let's talk about that. You profiled four charter school networks from all around the country. I mean, I believe there was one in Michigan, another one in Texas, I believe. When you took on this task, first off, what was your main objective as a journalist?
Well, I wanted to understand how people, first of all, define what civics education means beyond the traditional required class for seniors in their second semester of high school, where they learn about the three branches of government, et cetera. How in this era of polarization and real threats to the ongoing viability of our system of government, you know, how schools are tackling that. So my questions were, you know, how deeply are you thinking about this and what are you trying to impart to your students?
And Alan, what did you find? And maybe we can go, I know there were four charter school systems, so maybe we can look at each one because they are different in their approach.
I'm not generally, as a journalist, all that optimistic about things. I tend to be skeptical to pessimistic. But in this case,
we all are.
I think I found some common ground despite huge differences too. And I think the common ground is a recognition that teaching U.S. history and how the U.S. government functions includes a need to recognize how this country has systemically over its history discriminated against certain groups of people, and that you can't, no pun intended, whitewash that in your teaching of how this country functions and historically has treated people and its citizens. So I think that's good. I mean, I was glad to see that all sides agree that you don't just teach what used to be called the old dead white guys curriculum purely. Beyond that, I mean, I think there's a really fundamental difference between, there's really no other way to say it than the more conservative approach and the more progressive approach. The more conservative approach being teaching people how to be citizens of virtue, understand their system of government, and to basically act as productive and good people in the system is the most important thing. From the more progressive perspective, it's all of that and it's all meaningless unless you actually teach your kids and encourage them to take action to make their society a better place.
You know, it seems, Terry, getting back to House Bill 377, which, as we mentioned, Governor Little did sign into law, that many lawmakers, I mean, Idaho lawmakers, lawmakers across the country, are afraid that children will become indoctrinated and then they will become these social justice advocates, that there is this fear. And was that part of your reasoning for looking into this, is looking at actual schools to see if things like this were happening?
I wouldn't say we went that far to see if things are happening, but we were certainly wanting to understand what's actually going on in real schools. Because, yeah, I mean, this was a hotly debated, and it's hard to talk about. I mean, it's not only a hotly debated topic, it's hard to talk about. It's hard to have common language. People struggle. I think I was even hearing you struggle to ask the question. This is, seems really a hard one to tackle. And what our interest is really showing what's going on in our schools, and that you can have, as Alan described it, both conservative and progressive approaches to teaching our history, to teaching citizenship, but that there is common ground and that we've got to struggle through this conversation and get to the other side, because it's kind of core to our ability. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I'm overspeaking when I say keeping our society together. I hope that makes sense.
No, absolutely. And I think what's interesting as well is that these are difficult conversations to have. And I mean, just look at what happened last week. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell is urging the Biden administration to not give grants to public schools to teach the 1619 Project. So for folks who don't know what that is, the New York Times put together, it's a podcast, and now there is a lesson plan that teaches about when enslaved people first came to America and where we have you know, how that has come to play out in modern times. And he called it, and I'm quoting, revisionist history. Now, many people would argue that it actually tells the entire history of the United States, not just the history of white America. So, Alan, when you were researching and interviewing, did topics like this come up? And I'm curious as to the progressive approach to this and the more conservative approach to this.
I did ask questions about the 1619 Project. We didn't discuss that specifically as much as. Mm-hmm. But we definitely touched on sort of the basic ideas behind it, which is that there's a whole segment of American society that is unrepresented in traditional teaching of history, and that needs to be brought forward. One of the really interesting people I interviewed wasn't actually at one of the four charter networks. It was a guy named Pablo Wolf, who runs a national organization for civic educators, and he's definitely comes from the progressive perspective. But his argument was, you know, you could what you hear more conservative people say frequently is that the most important thing is to read source material, read texts, read the original documents, read stuff that was written at that time to really understand it, that all textbooks and subsequent histories are written with some sort of an axe to grind, whatever side they may be on. Well, the point Pablo made, and I think it's legitimate, is, hey, all of these people who are, I mean, yes, there's Frederick Douglass's autobiography, that's one incredibly important person, but most of the slaves were they were not literate. They were not allowed to learn how to read or write. And so there's a huge piece of the history that's missing if you try and go at it purely from that perspective, and that you really need to figure out how to dig into the experience of that population from that time, which is really challenging. So, I mean, I think that's interesting. There's definitely the point of view that American history, as it's typically been taught, is incomplete at best. And so that, you know, to refute what Mitch McConnell said, it's not revisionist, it's just more sides of the story, more perspectives than have traditionally been taught.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, Terry, when I think of it just from a parental perspective, it's, I personally don't necessarily look at it as indoctrination, as more to becoming a critical thinker. And in a way, that is what will propel society forward. And I'm curious about your thoughts on that within your own organization, in the sense of, I find it fascinating that you know, in this profile, you did look at progressive and you looked at conservative views and how they are approaching this. And it sounds like, to me, the bottom line was you're teaching kids, students, how to be critical thinkers. That's different than indoctrination.
Well, that's right. And it's interesting because I think I'm not letting the cat out of the bag. Alan and I probably come from different political bents slightly too. I mean, I think you can say I'm a conservative. I was the guy out there as a 14-year-old championing Ronald Reagan at the Illinois State Fair. And I think the way that we live together is we need to understand one another, and we have to have these conversations in a way that is civilized. And the ideas do matter. I do think the founding documents of the United States matter. And I would not hesitate to say, I think the founding documents of the United States were some of the greatest documents ever generated in human history. And that we should understand them. And I'm very sad to know that, you know, when you hear of surveys where fewer than 10% of our fellow citizens know what the First Amendment even is. But I think it's really critically important that we have these conversations, that we share information about what we think is working in schools. This is not an indoctrination. This is exactly what you're saying, helping our students be critical thinkers, because they're inheriting a really complicated country with a lot of challenges, and we're becoming a much more diverse society. We have to figure out how to make it work. I'm not wanting to sound preachy here, but that's what I feel like we could have a little bit of influence in that conversation and bring some really good experiences from both progressive and conservative educational models, that would be a good thing to do. And thank you for inviting us to speak with you and to, you know, talk to even a larger audience.
I'd like to just weigh in on the critical thinking thing really briefly, if I might, because one of the people I interviewed was Steve Lambert, who runs the Treasure Valley Classical Academy, which is one of the schools that Terry's organization helped start.
In Fruitland,
yeah. And he's, you know, he would definitely come from the more conservative side. He's a retired military guy, very, you know, super highly educated and brilliant. He said he doesn't like to use the term critical thinking when it comes to education, because for two reasons. One, he thinks it's overused. And second, he thinks that to actually be a critical thinker requires you first to have such a deep store of knowledge about the topics you're discussing that you really have enough information to weigh the merits of different sides. So he believes that critical thinking is important, but that a really deep and profound education has to precede it. And I think I'm extrapolating a little here, but I think he would then say it's pretty easy to indoctrinate kids by giving them a shallow education about some of these issues and then kind of urging them to take a side without having the deep knowledge that you really need in order to be a truly critical thinker.
Well, I appreciate both of you coming on and frankly tackling this topic from both sides, because I think you're absolutely right, Terry, that if we don't have these conversations, we can't find that common ground. So thank you both for the work you've been doing. We've been talking with education journalist Alan Gottlieb and Terry Ryan, CEO of Bloom. It's a Boise-based education nonprofit. And a quick note, tomorrow on Idaho Matters, we will actually be talking with some high school and college students, in particular about House Bill 377, getting their thoughts on what this means to them in regards to their education. Thank you both so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
More Idaho Matters next.